If God open our ears, we may hear, and open our hearts, we may respond. We are very familiar with this passage, John, especially John chapter 3, verse 16. Many of us could memorize. But we often take it as a standalone, and sometimes we didn't get the impact of that message. So today we'll look at the context. So we'll look from verse 14 all the way to verse 21. And I entitled this Responding to God's Love. And there are three things that we'll look at in this passage. Firstly, the bronze serpent. Secondly, the love of God. And thirdly, the judgment of God. Let's look at the first one. The bronze serpent. Two things here. As Moses' bronze serpent was lifted up, secondly, the son must be lifted up. In verse 14, he says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Here it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Now, this refers to the incident in Numbers chapter 21, verse 4 to 9. It was read earlier just now. See, this was almost at the end of their 40 years wilderness wandering. This at the end. And the people still grumbled against God and Moses. So they never got tired of grumbling. So they grumbled from the beginning to the end after 40 years. Then God sent fiery serpents into the camp and bit the people. And many died from the bite. And then they came to Moses pleading with him to plead to God to take away the serpents. But God gave a strange solution. God says, make the fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, will live. You see, they asked God to take away the serpent, but God did not remove the serpent. But he asked Moses to make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. This is strange. You see, the bronze serpent has the form of a serpent, but is not a real serpent. Serpent is a snake. So the bronze snake is not a real snake. It's bronze. It has the form. It looks like a snake, but it is not a snake. And then God says that everyone bitten by the serpent would surely die from the bite. But if he would obey God's word and look at the bronze serpent on the pole, then he would not die, but he would live. And so the people got bitten by the snake and they would die. And so God gave the solution and says that if you look at that bronze serpent, and you will die. The people may say, isn't this too simplistic? It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. Just one look and will it really work? You see, their root issue was unbelief and disobedience. So they need a direct, unquestioned act of faith. Because for 40 years they have been disobedient and choose not to believe. And so now they are bitten by the snake, and God says the solution is, you just take a look at it. You just obey without question, just obey, and then just look, and you will live. You see, they still grumble after about food and water, even after 40 years of timely and unfailing supply. God had been supplying their needs faithfully and timely for 40 years. And yet, they still come. And this time, they even despised and rejected the manna. And they said, this worthless food, this worthless manna. Therefore, they rejected God's gift of grace and God's gift of faithful provision. And God says, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. Everyone bitten by the snake, all they need to do is take a look at that bronze serpent lifted up on a pole, then they will live. See, this is God's prescription. Just obey in faith and look at the bronze serpent, then you shall live and not die. It's simple yet true. I will look at the second point. Then the son must be lifted up. He says here, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. He says, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, this is Jesus' first recorded prediction of his death. This is the first time that he talked about his coming death. He says, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The word must. Must means it is absolutely necessary. It is not optional, it is needful and inevitable. It must happen. And then he says, just as the bronze serpent was lifted up on a pole, then the Son of Man must in like manner be lifted up on a cross as God's prescribed solution for the world's salvation. The bronze serpent took the form of serpent, but was not real serpent. In the same way, Jesus took on the form of sin, but he was not sin. So this is in the same way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, for our sake, he made him, or God made him, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So God made him to be sin who knew no sin. Jesus had no sin, and yet he took on the form of sin on the cross, and he died for men. And then another thing about the bronze. See, the bronze must pass through the furnace of fire. It must be melted. And then he formed. See, the bronze must pass through the furnace to be molded into the form of serpent. In the same way, the Son of God brought deliverance through his suffering. So the Son of God also went through that furnace. And this is what he said in Mark chapter 8. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And then it says, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. That, this is so good. So that is the purpose. The purpose of Jesus being lifted up on the cross is to give eternal life to everyone who would believe. Whoever believes in him may have eternal life. This is our translation of the Bible. And then in another translation, he says this way, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. Can you notice the difference here? The place of the word in him. So that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And our translation says, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. A And so the first part says, the first translation says that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And the other translation, which is equally true, says whoever believes in him will in him have eternal life. So the eternal life is in Jesus Christ. See, both are true. So I think the most accurate translation will be, for whoever believes in him will in him have eternal life. See, believe in him will have eternal life, and eternal life is only in him. And then what is eternal life? Eternal life is more than just endless duration. It is sharing in the life of God in Christ. In another part of the Bible, it says, he who has the Son has the life. If we do not have the Son of God, we do not have life. And that life is what we call eternal life. Now we look at the second part, the love of God. Two things here. God gave his Son, and secondly, not perish but live. God gave his Son. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And we are very familiar with this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. But in some other translations, that is translated this way. For this is how God loved the world. The original Greek word that is translated as so or thus can be translated as in this way or how. So for God so loved the world, or love, God loved the world so, in this way. And so we are very familiar with the first part. That's what we memorize. For God so loved the world. But if you look back into the original, that so is not just to that extent, but it is this way. For this is how God loved the world. I'll explain what this means. See, this gives a different emphasis and impact of this verse. You see, if we said this is how God loves the world, this emphasis, the emphasis is not just on the intensity of his love. God loved enough to give. We tend to think this way. For God so loved the world means God loved so much that he gave. But the emphasis here is on the actuality of the gift. God loved so that he gave. God loved in this way, he gave. See, God gave what was most dear to him. See, God loved the world. This word love is in what we call aorist tense. Aorist tense, this is special in Greek. It indicates a simple, effective, successful action. Meaning, this is an action that occurred once, but valid and effective always. And so, he loved the world. Or Christ died on the cross. This is one action. This is aorist tense, meaning that it occurred once, but valid and effective always. God loved the world. It happened. And is effective always. And then, this is how God loved the world. See, God loved the world by giving his only Son. This is the way God loved the world, by giving his only Son to the world. And therefore, Jesus Christ is the essence and the expression of God's love to the world. Now, Now, this thing happened as I explain this, because this changed the impact. See, God loved the world by, in this way, God loved by giving His only Son. Okay? Then, look at this. What this means is that if we reject Jesus, we are in actuality rejecting God's love. So God loved us by giving us His Son. So this is His act of love. And so if we reject His Son, we are actually rejecting His love. Can you follow? Okay. See, because Jesus is the only essence and expression of His love. And this is not just a knowledge option. This is not just to know that God loves me. And we tend to take John 3:16 as just to know that God loves me. No. But this verse demands a faith response. Just like the serpent-bitten person, you can ignore it and die. So those that are bitten by serpent, if they ignore it, they just die, continue to die. But if they choose to obey in faith, they look at the serpent and they will live. And so in the same way, if we choose to believe in Jesus, then we will live. If not, then we are actually rejecting God's love and will die. And then, it says, not perish but live. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Here it says, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Just like the snake-bitten person, who is already dying. So death is not a choice. It is happening. The choice is to believe and live. So death is not a choice. The one bitten by the snake is already dying. It will happen. And so the choice is you don't want to die. And so you take a look at that bronze serpent and you live. Amen. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. See, Jesus did not come to condemn the world. The world is already condemned and perishing, just like the snake-bitten person is already dying. So Jesus came to offer life. But in order that the world might be saved through Him. But in order that. So this is purpose. So the purpose of giving Jesus is to offer the path to life, that the world need not perish, but might be saved through Jesus. Let's look at the final part. The judgment of God. Two things, reject the Son, reject the light. Verse 18, whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Now look at this verse. Let me read it again. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. See, the key word here in this verse is believe. It's used three times. See, Christ's death on the cross does not automatically bring salvation to all. So Christ died on the cross, but it does not automatically bring salvation to all. It offers salvation, and no one is saved without personally believing. Only those who personally believe will be saved. Even though salvation is offered to all, Christ died and His death is valid for all, but only those who personally believe will be saved. Just like that bronze serpent is lifted up, all can see, but only those who look who can live. Those who refuse to look will die by the bite. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Now, this word believe is in the present tense. Present tense means this is a continuing, ongoing belief. So, continuing, ongoing belief in Jesus as God's given solution. You see, this belief, obeying faith, has transformed the judgment into mercy. The one bitten by the serpent is judged, and so will die. But if he chooses to look at the bronze serpent, then he is not condemned. So now he lives. So that judgment is changed into mercy. So the same way for us. So when we choose to believe in Jesus, that judgment is changed, transformed into mercy, so that we live. In John chapter 5, verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes, him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. And then this word, whoever does not believe, is condemned already. Does not believe is also in the present tense, meaning that it is a continual, persistent unbelief, a hardened refusal to God's gift. Is condemned. This is the perfect tense, meaning that it has already occurred and is abiding. It will happen. Finally, reject the light. Verse 19, and this is the judgment, the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their work were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. People love the darkness rather than the light. See, the love of sin and darkness will lead to the dislike and rejection of light. Those who like darkness don't want the light. So not wanting to give up their sin, so that they reject the light and make them uneasy and guilty. If you are in a room that is dark, somebody suddenly turn on the light, you feel uncomfortable. And so you say, turn on the light. See? The same word, those who love darkness would reject the light. See, the reason why people hate the light is because of what it reveals. It shows us what a dark place this world is and how dark and evil the human race has become. Now, let me summarize what we look at this point. Responding to God's word. John 3:16 is not just for information, just for us to know, but it demands a response. Just like the bronze serpent, those bitten by the snake would die. But if you choose to take God's solution, take a look at that bronze serpent, you live. So in the same way, the Son of God who will be lifted up on the cross. And if we choose to believe, then we will live. And that is the way the love of God is being shown. God expressed his love by sending his Son on the cross for us. So if we reject Christ, then we are rejecting the love of God. And what we have left is rejection. If we choose to believe, that judgment will be transformed into mercy. But if we choose not to believe, then judgment is the only thing left for us. And God loves us. And I hope that all of us will respond and experience his love for us. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you open our eyes and open our hearts that we may respond. that the love of God may be so true in our lives, changing us, enabling us to experience them and transform us for the world. So Lord, we pray that your word will continue in our life, and your spirit will enable us to understand and respond. So God, we thank you, we pray in Jesus' name.